When President Bush visited U.S. Marines at Camp Pendleton here in California last week, he gave them this assessment of U.S. efforts against al-Qaeda.
Today's war on terror will not end with a ceremony, a surrender ceremony on a deck of a battleship, but it will end with victory.
Defining the struggle against terrorism as a war that can be won has been a hallmark of Mr. Bush's presidency. Most Americans, whether or not they voted for the president, have backed the effort. And that three-word phrase, war on terror, has for Americans come to define the challenge of an era. But as NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports, not everyone agrees the war on terror is winnable or even that we should continue to think of it as a war.
A couple weeks ago, on an unusually warm day here in Washington, more than 200 terrorism experts from around the world got together. The occasion was a major conference on al-Qaeda. As people grabbed cups of coffee and found their seats, Bruce Hoffman stepped up to the podium. Hoffman is one of the most respected terrorism experts in the U.S., and he got people's attention with this line.
The concept of a war on terrorism has outlived both its usefulness and its relevance.
Hoffman said the U.S. strategy of killing and capturing terrorists has been a good one these first 3 years after 9/11. But he continued, it's time now to move away from that model and to focus much more closely on breaking the cycle of terrorist recruitment.
To do this, we have to think and plan strategically, not just to counter the current generation of terrorists out there, but the generation beyond the existing one.
Later that morning, Jessica Stern of Harvard picked up the theme.
Where I think we're making a very profound error is in focusing almost exclusively on the stock, on today's terrorists, rather than who becomes a terrorist and why.
Trying to stop the flow of new recruits and trying to kill or capture as many existing terrorists as you can are, of course, not mutually exclusive. But from the beginning, the Bush administration has framed the struggle against terrorists in military terms, in terms of capturing or killing them. President Bush first described that struggle as a war the night of the September 11th attacks. He addressed the nation from the White House.
America and our friends and allies join with all those who want peace and security in the world. And we stand together to win the war against terrorism.
Some have argued that with those words, the president introduced the most important organizing principle in U.S. foreign policy since the Cold War. David Frum was working as a White House speechwriter at the time. He says as aides scrambled that day to react, everyone was in agreement about describing the U.S. response to the attacks as a war.
Cast your mind back. We did not know that morning whether there might not be 30,000 dead people. This was the largest one-day killing in American history. It's hard to avoid any conclusion other than that this is a military attack. And, I mean, it's an atrocity. It's a war crime. These are not legitimate techniques of war, but it is warlike. It is war in its intentions.
And so the feeling was that the proper way to respond to that was a war against terrorism.
And it was with a military response.
Even President Bush's critics largely agree that declaring a so-called war on terror has been useful in mobilizing public opinion. But Brent Scowcroft, who served as national security advisor to the president's father, says the concept has its limits.
So far, we've been dealing with terror primarily retail, going after the leadership of terrorist organizations, and we've done quite well on that. But, you know, that may be like pruning a bush. You prune the bush back and it grows much richer. And so I think we need to start concentrating more on what are the roots of terror.
Scowcroft admits that identifying and destroying the roots of terror are much bigger jobs than picking off individual terrorists. There's a lack of consensus as to what the root causes are. Analysts point to everything from poverty and lack of education to U.S. policy in the Middle East. The issue needs more study. Another complicating factor, Scowcroft says, is the war in Iraq. President Bush has argued the two conflicts are intimately linked, that Iraq is, in fact, the central front in the war on terror. I asked General Scowcroft if he agrees.
I don't think so. In a way, it is. If we fail in Iraq, it would certainly be a huge boost. But if we succeed, we will not necessarily have made great progress in the war on terrorism.
In other words, Scowcroft argues, no matter what the outcome in Iraq, the U.S. won't be much better off in the war on terror. Richard Clark takes an even dimmer view on the situation in Iraq. Clark was, until last year, the White House's top counterterrorism official. Asked whether the U.S. is winning the war on terror, Clark answers this way.
By going into Iraq with military force, we're actually generating more terrorists than we are capturing or killing them. So if you want to include the activities in Iraq as part of the war on terrorism, as the Bush administration does, then I would say that the war on terrorism so far has generated more terrorists than it has captured or killed.
Clark has made no secret of his frustration with the Bush administration and its approach to terrorism. He doesn't have a particular problem with calling it a war on terror, but he has persistently argued that the president and his advisors don't really understand the terrorist threat. In response, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice went on TV and declared, "Dick Clark just does not know what he's talking about." White House aides usually cite, as evidence that the U.S. is winning the war on terror, that three-quarters of al-Qaeda's leaders have been killed or captured since September 11th. Critics point out that statistic refers to the core leadership at the time of the attacks and ignores evidence that many new recruits have since flooded to the cause. Still, David Frum, the president's former speechwriter, says he's confident the U.S. will eventually defeat terrorism. And he says a key part of the strategy will be continuing to cast the struggle as a war.
The concept of a war on terror will always be useful. In between catastrophes, it is very easy to forget you have a problem at all. And that's certainly what happened in the United States between the embassy attacks of 1998 and 2001. One of the things that the concept of a war on terror does is it keeps the problem of terrorism at the front of our minds, even when Americans are not bleeding and dying.
In the end, defining U.S. counterterrorism efforts as a war speaks to the president's preference for casting events in terms of black and white, good and evil. In a war, there is an enemy, a sequence of battles, and, almost always, an end. The question now is whether that pattern will apply to the struggle against al-Qaeda-linked terrorism. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.